Check, 1, 2, 3, test.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail and the Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is Pastor Dennis Campbell from Granite City Baptist Church in St. Cloud. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you for this opportunity. I just want to take an opportunity to say thank you for your service and sacrifice and let you know that every Sunday morning we do publicly pray for our representatives in the federal, state, and local levels. We pray for you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for your greatness and your power. We know the heavens declare the glory of God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to show reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God today. We ask your divine guidance upon this assembly. Give them wisdom, help them to realize that they are ministers of God as well as ministers for the people. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to recognize that there are many problems that we have in our culture, in our state, in our nation. And Father, there are many sins that we're concerned about. And we need to be willing to turn from sin and turn to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fill our spirits with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. Help us to realize that the solution to our problems are found in truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, that if we are willing to turn from our sins, that you will bring blessing. If my people, which are called my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We want to see our land healed, and it can be healed if we turn to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance will be led today by Mr. Mike McElhenney from Rochester. Mr. McElhenney is a retired 21-year veteran of the Army Special Forces. He is a wounded combat soldier and is currently the legislative director at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Mr. McElhenney, will you please lead the Minnesota Senate in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Anderson, Bach, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogamiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Wieger, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Senator Bonhoff.
Madam President, point of personal privilege.
Senator Bonhoff, state your point of personal privilege.
Madam President, when we had our meeting with regard to the Senate rules, in my role as Assistant Minority Leader, I was in that conversation. I actually requested that we put in the rules that our prayer be non-denominational. And Madam President, you at that time said, oh, that is not necessary. That is custom and usage. It is customary. We all know that our prayer should be non-denominational. Madam President, this was a serious departure from that. And so there are many freshmen here who may not know the tradition in the Senate, but it is important, you know, as someone who is Jewish, that was quite uncomfortable for me. And I think it's very important that we in the Senate observe and respect the tradition that all faiths are welcome and respected, and that our prayer never be said in such a way as to leave any person in this chamber or, for that matter, any Minnesotan left out. It is a tradition that we honor saying that prayer, and so I would urge you, Madam President, to use your role to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Senator Bonhoff, we will do what we can. We invite pastors here to pray, and they may not always be exactly as we feel our traditions go, but we will certainly take that into consideration.
Madam President, that was an insufficient response for my request. Let me be more direct. I am requesting that when we have our clergy pray with us, that we let them know prior to their being here to pray that it must be non-denominational, or they're not invited back.
Senator Bonhoff, the pastors are provided with a set of guidelines, and they are told that that is the practice, and we will make sure that you receive a copy of that so that you understand what the pastors are provided with before they are invited here.
Thank you, Madam President. And I want to make sure, because you were speaking, that you heard the final piece of mine, which is if they are not willing to observe that and we discover that in their prayer, then they aren't invited back.
We'll certainly take that under consideration, Senator.
Madam President.
Senator Brown.
I do want to point out that this is not in the rules. It's tradition. And when we invite clergy, they should have the right to pray however they choose to pray, no matter what their beliefs are. If we need to change the rules, then we can look at changing the rules. But it's not in the rules, it's tradition, and clergy has the right to pray however they choose to pray.
Moving on to the second order of business, executive and official communications. Please make note of the official communications received on the first page of the Senate agenda. Moving to the third order of business is messages from the House. Secretary Ludeman will read.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith return. Senate file 125, a bill for an act relating to financial institutions. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No Senate action is necessary on that message. The next message from the House, Secretary Ludeman will read.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files. Here's with transmitted House files number 79, 110, 576, and 613. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No Senate action is necessary on that message. Moving on to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills as printed in the agenda. There are four on page two. First reading of House bills. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I would like to move that House file number 79 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are several printed on page 3 of the agenda. Second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bill. There are several that will be read into the record. Secretary Ludeman.
Introduction and first reading of Senate file 811, a bill for an act relating to state government, introduced by Thompson. First reading.
That Senate file 811 will be referred to State Government, Innovation, and Veterans.
Introduction and first reading of Senate file 812, a bill for an act relating to state government, introduced by Gazelka, Perry, Brown, Hoffman, Chamberlain. First reading.
Senate file 812 will be referred to State Government, Innovation, and Veterans.
Introduction and first reading of Senate file 813, a bill for an act relating to retirement, introduced by Hoffman, Perry, Thompson, Chamberlain, Newman. First reading.
Senate file 813 will be referred to the Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans. First reading of Senate bills and referred with those three added. The others are printed on today's Senate bill introduction. Those will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to the ninth order of business under motions and resolutions, there are five authors' motions that will be adopted as one motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion is adopted. And Senate concurrent resolution number 5 will be referred to rules. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Roebling.
Madam President, I move that Senate file number 299, number 1 on the consent calendar, be stricken and placed on general orders.
On that motion.
Madam President, I think we're going to have an amendment, and I just thought it would be best if it were placed on general orders.
Thank you. On Senator Roebling's motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion is adopted. Moving on to the 12th order of business, general orders. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar. And members, my intentions would be to take up general orders, let's see, Senate file 119, which is number 4 on your general orders, as well as Senate file 170, which is number 1 on your general orders.
On Senator Koch's motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay.
Madam President.
We are under general orders. Yes.
Madam President, Senator, I would just Koch. Ask members, if you have bills that are ready to be heard on general orders, please let myself or my office know, and we'll be moving through the general orders at further dates. Thank you.
On to Senate File 119, Senator Rosen. This is number 4 on general orders.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 119 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senate File 119 is a community paramedic bill. And the concept is very simple, and it's actually a very good example of health care reform. And it was brought to me by the Minnesota Ambulance Association. And like I said, this is one simple step towards health care reform. And it's basically using underutilized resources out there for underserved populations. So it's a very modest proposal, and it's been worked on vigorously in committee and when it passed out of committee. And so, Madam Chair, I do have an amendment at the desk there, the A7 amendment.
Senator Rosen moves the A7 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Rosen moves to amend Senate File 119 as follows, page 1, line 22. This is the A7 amendment.
On the A7 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A7 amendment really just clarifies and brings all the discussions that have been happening about this community paramedic. And what this bill does and the amendment is uses, like I said, a underutilized service, such as a paramedic or an EMT, and gears them and designates them to this population that is using the 911 calls or the emergency rooms as their primary caregiver, and we affectionately call them the frequent flyers. And in populations that are out in greater Minnesota, the emergency medical director and everybody knows who that population is. So we're trying to expand their scope of practice so they can better utilize their service and hopefully cut down the healthcare costs and bring everybody together. The A7 amendment basically tightens up the description of the services that a CP, a community paramedic, can perform. And it specifies that the CP can perform services as directed by a patient care plan that has been developed by the patient's primary physician or an advanced practice registered nurse or a physician assistant in conjunction with the ambulance medical director and the relevant local health care providers. The original language, Madam Chair, just specified an ambulance medical director in conjunction with the primary physician. The amendment also adds new language that requires the care plan to ensure that the services provided by the CPs are consistent with the patient's health care home services, if the patient has a health care home, and that the patient receives all necessary services and there is no duplication of services to the patient. It also clarifies...
Excuse me just a moment, Senator Rosen. I don't mean to interrupt, but I have been made aware that this is not... The amendment is not on the system yet. They're getting an error message, and they are trying to get it up. But if someone needs paper copies, please let us know. And Senator Rosen has a few copies there, so please let us know if you need them, and they are working diligently to get that up on the system.
Thank
Senator
you,
Rosen.
Also, the last part of the amendment clarifies that the services that may be provided by the CPs and that will be looked at in terms of establishing medical assistant coverage. And what's unique about this, Madam Chair and members, is that this was actually developed by the Mayo Clinic and has been utilized in various parts throughout the states and through the world. And it, like I said, it is reform. Now, in Fort Worth, Texas, they did a pilot project where they identified about 64 individuals, and they targeted their care to those 64 individuals or frequent flyers. And they found that they were able to save over $640,000 in just ER visits to one hospital in 1 year. And that's a tremendous savings. And I think that even with the federal healthcare conformity that's coming down the pipeline, the policy, it says in 2012, reimbursement disincentives for hospitals that readmit patients with the same diagnosis for which they were treated within the previous month will become into effect. And under current state law, for MA services rendered on or after January 1st of 2011, the commissioner shall include as part of the performance targets a reduction in the state's emergency room utilization rate for health care program enrollees by a measurable rate of 5% from the plan's utilization rate for the previous calendar year. And that applies to managed care plans and county-based purchasing plans. Hopefully the amendment is up on... Everybody can receive that. And I'd just like to, Madam Chair and members, just address a few of the concerns that were out there and how has the first bill has been changed to address those. The community health workers wanted to change and remove, well, the first major change was to remove their initiative from the community health worker status and place it in the ambulance status, which is a better fit. The Minnesota Nurses Association and the Home Health Care Providers and the Minnesota Medical Association wanted more clearly articulated the responsibilities of the CP, and they wanted to clarify that their services must be part of a patient's health care plan, which will assure that there is no duplication of service and that a patient's primary provider is directing care. The public health nurses want it clarified that the CPs must be certified by the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board, which is the state entity that regulates paramedics and all other aspects of the emergency medical services delivery system. The respiratory therapists wanted clarified that the CP training program, which will only be offered through colleges and universities, approved by the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board, and accredited by a national accreditation organization. And then the Minnesota Medical Association, when it clearly states that the services of a CP are consistent with a patient's health care home if one exists. And that was actually a letter that is on your desk from one of my constituents that is also a member of the Minnesota Academy of Family Physicians. So they did recognize this and did approve that. They were very concerned about that portion of it. So there was, like I said, Madam Chair and members, there was a lot of discussion about this bill. This is a tiny step, again, towards health care reform. The scope of the practice for this bill will come back to the legislature, to Health and Human Services, and a report to both the minority and the majority members of that committee on the scope of the practices by January of 2012. And then in order for it to expand to receive MA coverage, that report will come back to the respective body, minority and majority, by 2014. So there is quite a good grip on this bill, but it'll be interesting to see the cost savings and how well the program works out in the underserved populations. So, Madam Chair and members, I ask for your support.
Discussion to the A7 amendment. My understanding, it is up on the system now, so folks should have access to that. Discussion on the A7. Senator Rosen renews her motion on the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Discussion to Senate File 119 as amended. Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good bill. It's a bill that we started working on last session, and I would urge members to support it.
Further discussion on Senator Rosen's motion on Senate File 119 as amended. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion is adopted. We will now move on to Senator Daley's Senate File 170. Senator Daley.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 170 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Daley.
This bill, Senate File 170, has strong bipartisan support, as shown by our Education Committee's unanimous approval when it went through our committee. I want to take a moment to thank Senator Wieger for his efforts on this, as he's a co-author on this bill, as well as committee and staff for your efforts on this teacher quality measure. Many of our own children attend or have attended public schools, and this measure is of great importance to all of us as legislators and as parents and grandparents. Teacher quality is the number one in-school factor affecting student performance. The presentation by the Bush Foundation to the Education Committee emphasized a need to raise the bar for new teachers and to improve recruitment efforts. And this measure does that ever so slightly. It's not a huge raise of the bar, but a slight raising of the bar. It makes sense to ensure only well-qualified candidates enter teacher prep programs, both for prospective teachers as well as future students. Otherwise, these students will spend a great deal of time, money, and energy pursuing a degree in a profession that they're not a good fit for. Current Board of Teaching rules permit a temporary limited license, which may be carried for up to 3 years, that allows a person to teach in a classroom even though they have not been able yet to pass the basic skills exam. So, members, Senate File 170 clarifies current law and implements these three items. It requires a teacher candidate to pass the basic skills exam prior to entering a teacher prep program. It removes statutory language allowing a teacher who failed the basic skills exam to renew a temporary one-year teaching license up to two times. And it changes successfully complete to pass, to leave no question about the expectation of potential teachers and the basic skills exam. Finally, members, there is no fiscal impact to the state.
Further discussion on Senate File 170. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Daley yield for a question?
Senator Daley will yield.
Senator, I just noted that the bill didn't go through higher education. I've not heard from any of my teacher prep schools that they have any issues with it, but I'm wondering if, as the author of the bill, you had had any feedback or any concerns that it hadn't gone through higher education.
Senator Daley.
Senator Reinert, this did not go through the higher ed committee, and I was conferring with my fellow senator, and I didn't hear the last half of what you said. If you could just say it again. Sorry about that.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator, just my question was, I've not had any feedback from any of my, I've got three schools in Duluth that do teacher preparation programs. They've not weighed in, which usually in this work means that they don't have concerns. But as the author of the bill, I was wondering if any teacher prep programs from anywhere in the state had raised any concerns over this.
Senator Daley.
Madam Chair, there have been no members, no higher ed institutions who have contacted me about this with any concerns that they might have.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam President. And will Senator Daley yield?
Senator Daley will yield. Senator Pappas.
Senator Daley, just following up on that, do you have any idea what the costs are involved with this remediation requirement for higher education, and who's going to pay for those costs?
Senator Daley.
The word remediation is in current law, and we're just changing it to from current to offering it. That it's not required, but that they are to offer.
Madam
Senator
President.
Pappas.
Madam President and Senator Daley, so it's not clear exactly who's going to pay for this or what's involved. It's a little mushy. Could you tell me how you define successfully remediate?
Senator Daley.
Madam Chair, successfully remediate means they pass the basic skills exam.
Madam President, I'm not
Senator
understanding
Pappas.
Exactly how this works, since it didn't come to the higher ed committee. But so if they don't pass the exam, then they take these remedial classes and then they retake the exam? Is that what happens?
Madam Chair.
Senator Daley.
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 170. Senator Daley renews his motion on Senate File 170. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the 13th order of business. Senator Koch.
Madam President, then I would move. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to do a couple other pieces here. I move that the committee do now arise and report.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
And I move that the report of the committee as a whole, as kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the 13th order of business. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Sparks, all day. Senator Reinert, from 11 to 11:25. Without objection, they are excused. Announcements of Senate interest. Senator DeCryf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to bring it to everyone's attention that a constituent of mine goes by the name of Jack Zimmerman. On Tuesday, March 8th, at approximately 2 p.m. in Afghanistan, Private First Class Jack Zimmerman with the Army's 101st Airborne Division from Cleveland, Minnesota, was severely injured on patrol after walking over an IED, an improvised explosive device. He was immediately rushed to Kandahar Airfield and went through several surgeries. His right hand is severely injured with hope that it can be saved. His left elbow suffered a bad fracture, and both legs have been amputated above the knee. Last Thursday, he was at Bagram Air Base, where he was stabilized, and later flew to Germany. He was kept unconscious at that point and sedated for travel purposes. Since then, yesterday, he was flown to stateside, and he is currently down at Brook Army Medical Center in Texas. I'd like to ask this body to please keep Jack, his family, and his family in his prayers, his parents, Mark and Lori, his brother, AJ, who's been sent home on emergency leave, who's also in the military due to his brother's injuries, and his new fiance, Megan Wolf, who they were just engaged on Valentine's Day when Jack was home on leave. Currently, as we speak, the family should be en route. Somebody's planning to pick up the family at the airport in Texas, take them straight to see Jack down in Texas. So I'd like to ask this body to keep Jack and the family in their prayers.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements of Senate interest, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to thank the majority for getting the budget targets out in a timely way last week and kind of remind everybody it's the legislative process where the public gets an opportunity to participate in setting the state budget. And we have 12 days now left before the bills are under the rules have to come out of their respective committees and be referred to finance. So, Madam President, would Senator Koch yield for a question?
Senator Koch will yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Majority Leader, I'm just for planning purposes, I'm interested in considering there's only 12 days left, are there going to be any evening committee hearings, maybe committee hearings over the weekend, or kind of what is the schedule for the next 12 days so that not only members of the public, but members of the Senate and our legislative staffs can be prepared for how the schedule might accelerate over the next 12 days.
Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Bach, for the question. Yes, members all should plan for, as you know, when it comes down to the budget or the target or the deadlines for any committee, there's generally an acceleration. And so I would encourage committee chairs to talk to their committee members about at least tentatively what they have planned for their schedule. And I think that members and staff should plan for a very busy couple of weeks.
Thank you,
Senator Bach.
Madam Majority Leader. I think maybe we all need to be reminded, especially the committee chairs, what it actually says in the Senate rules relative to committee hearings. Rule 12.3 says, to the extent practical, a committee or subcommittee shall announce each meeting to the public at least 3 days before convening. So I think, Madam Majority Leader, it might be helpful if you sent a memo out to the committee chairs. Many of the LAs, many of the committee administrators are new. So that we do have adequate notice for members and for members of the public. Madam President, would Senator Cohen yield for a question?
Senator Cohen will yield.
Senator Cohen, I was looking at the committee targets that were announced last week and a little surprised. For the first time, I think we've actually recognized that we did have federal money in last year's budget, and it is now included in the form of general fund spending going forward in this next biennium. Senator Cohen, I was just looking at the numbers, and you're the former chair of the Finance Committee in the Senate. Senator Cohen, have we ever spent this much general fund money before?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Bach, thank you, and let me offer a perspective.
Madam President, point, if I may just ask, I'm just
Senator
wondering
Koch.
If we're going to debate the budget on the floor today or if we're going to allow that process to go through in committees. I don't mind a little latitude here, but I think that this debate is best held for at least the next couple weeks in committees, and believe me, then we'll be able to have that on the floor.
Well Madam President,
Senator
if I can respond to
Senator
Bach.
Senator Koch, I agree that this is not an announcement of Senate interest, and I would defer that this should be handled in committees, the debate on the budget. We don't have anything before us right now to debate, and we are under announcements of Senate interest.
Well, Madam
Senator
Chair,
Bach.
I'll withdraw my request for Senator Cohen to yield, but
Thank you, Senator.
Madam President, in the last biennium, this Senate spent $30 billion and some change. This next one, we're going to spend $34 billion. $4 billion more. Just want to remind people that on the campaign trail said they were going to come here and cut spending. This next budget under these targets is going to spend $4 billion of general fund more than the previous one.
Senator Bach, please restrict your comments to announcements of Senate interest.
Well, Madam President, if I might.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, it seems to me I recall, particularly as the former chairman of the Finance Committee, often getting up on the floor in response to questions during announcements from members of the then minority. And we don't have an opportunity to have some of this larger discussion in terms of announcements of Senate interest, because I do think Senator Bach's point is a correct one. We are about to pass the single largest general fund budget in the history of the state of Minnesota, And I'm not sure how that flies in the face of all the Tea Party rhetoric and everything
Senator
from the campaign.
Cohen.
But Madam President.
Senator Cohen.
Why was there one rule for the minority 2 years ago and a different rule this year?
Senator Cohen, I don't believe it is a different rule. We are under announcements of Senate interest. This is a political speech.
On the floor of the Senate? I'm shocked.
With no... Senator Cohen, that may be amusing, but we are under announcements of Senate interest. We have no question in front of us. It is simply a time for senators to share information under announcements of Senate interest. Senator Koch responded to Senator Bach's specific question about the schedule. We are not changing the rules. We are simply under announcements of Senate interest.
Well, Madam President, can I ask as a matter of inquiry then, why was I supposed to respond 2 years ago, 4 years, six years ago to similar kinds of questions on the floor at a similar time, and now I can't pose the same questions? Why are we changing this?
Senator Cohen, I'm going to ask you to end your discussion at this point. You know, I am not going to address something that happened 2, 4, 6 years ago when I was not in the chair. I don't recall specific examples. If you can provide those at some point, we can have that discussion. But at this point, we are under announcements of Senate interest.
Well, Madam President, in response, I would suggest that it happened over and over again, and I'm sure members of the Senate, people who serve in the Senate, will recall that. There was a discussion a few minutes ago about the rules of the Senate. We have always allowed discussion of matters of general interest at the time of announcements. I've been here for a while. It's happened over and over again, and any member of the Senate who's been a participant knows that.
Point of order.
Senator Nelson, please state your point of order.
Madam President, what item of business are we on?
We are on announcements of Senate interest.
Thank you.
Senator Cohen, I think that we have other announcements that need to be made today.
Well, Madam President, let me ask then that there be some clarification in the rules relative to this, because I think these are important issues that we're trying to raise. Your suggestion that this was a political discussion, and you suggested I was being a touch caustic, yeah, it's a political body. It's the state Senate. And as Captain Renaud said in Casablanca, I'm shocked to learn, to paraphrase him, that there's politics on the Senate floor.
Senator Cohen.
So, Madam President, I'm asking that we get the opportunity, as members of the minority, to know when we can raise some of these concerns. If you want to wait till we have budget bills on the floor, we can do it. But
Senator
we do think,
Cohen,
let me just finish one comment, Madam
Senator
President.
Senator Cohen, I will certainly provide clarification on that, and I appreciate your input. There are other announcements. Senator Peterson has the floor. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I would encourage you to continue this debate at St. Cloud Evening at the Capitol. St. Cloud Area Chamber of Commerce is tomorrow night down at the St. Paul Hotel in the James J. Hill Room from 5 to 7 p.m. It's a beautiful venue and a great place to get to know members from Central Minnesota and learn about some of those issues which we've been discussing. Thank you.
Announcements to Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, the Judiciary Committee will be meeting tomorrow at its regular time. I'd like to urge our members to be there in a timely way. We have a lot of work to do on Tuesday as well as Thursday, and would greatly appreciate all members to be there on time.
I have also been reminded that the blood pressures are being checked in the in the retiring room, if anyone's interested. Thank you. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I would move that we adjourn now until Wednesday. We will meet Wednesday, March 16th at 12 noon.
On Senator Koch's motion to adjourn until Wednesday, March 16th at noon, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.